This
is After Sunday.
Hi, everybody, and welcome to another episode of After Sunday. I am your relatively new co-host, Elissa, and I am joined yet again by Alex.
Your relatively old host.
Aha, you're so funny. So today we are talking about how to go from pew to pavement. So we're continuing with our theme for the year, which is revival. And we're going to focus today on how revival requires participation. So Craig introduced his lesson and he's started talking about how there are certain experiences in our lives that make us really fired up about spreading the gospel. Think like when you return from a mission trip, after you've been to a conference or a youth rally, you've been surrounded by a lot of people who are really excited and really just passionate about spreading the word, and you're all together and you kind of feed off of that energy. So I'm going to call that like a mountaintop experience, and how it's easy after those experiences because you're so excited and you're just so ready to get out there and do what we've been called to do. And so I want you to turn with me, if you have your Bibles, to Exodus chapter 34. So this is when Moses goes up on the mountain. And when he comes back down, his face is completely changed. It's shining. And it's so interesting because it shined so much from the presence of God that he was almost transformed. He had to veil his face so that when he was around regular people, and he took it off when he went back up on the mountain. And so that's how those experiences kind of transform us. What happens, Alex, when after those experiences are over, when they're done?
I feel like you ride a high for a few days or a few weeks, depending on the type of experience. And I think the type of experience you're talking about, it's like when you go on a mission trip or exactly. A retreat or something like that, and you really feel a heightened sense of bond and a heightened sense of, you know, your own spirituality. And then I'd liken it to taking a nice vacation. You know, you go to the beach with your family, you go to Disney, something like that, and you just have an awesome time. But when we get in the car and head back home, I feel a little bummed out.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, oh man, it's over. I got to go back to work again.
Exactly.
I got to do normal human adult things.
Those pressures of everyday life kind of sneak back in, and slowly you get less and less excited. That energy, that passion that you felt, it kind of drains away.
It dwindles, yeah.
And I think that we need to try to find a way to kind of keep that fire, keep that excitement when we think about evangelism. And Craig made a really great point. One of his points in his lessons today was evangelism is a lifestyle, not a program. So what does that mean to you, Alex?
We're very task and program oriented, right? I mean, we spend the first, 20 years of our lives in school, and you're assigned assignments and homework, and you get to college and you've got all these projects you're working on. And it, as we talked about this before we came on air, I was thinking your husband, Brandon, and I have a similar education. We went to school, but there's also school that happens after that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he just completed his CPA. I've got my CFP. We both have master's degrees in business and finance and those kind of things. So we spent over half our lives at this point in school, mm-hmm. and on these task oriented things. And you think, well, I've always got to get to the next task. When mm-hmm. this one's done, what's the next one? What's the next assignment? What's the next project?
Exactly.
So we condition ourselves, I think, just through the way we have our education system set up and through society of that's how we're oriented. And it's not really a, well, I'm going to do this every day, but every day, what's my next project?
But so often we treat spreading the gospel like that, like we're waiting for some sort of organized, hey, do this, and this. Here's ABC. Once you do step one, step two, and here's exactly how it's supposed to go. And very rarely does that ever work out. So I think one of the best things that we can do to make evangelism a part of our lifestyle is in the way we act. I think I talked a little bit about this last week, but to set ourselves apart and by how we react to things and our actions, and that's how we should be different. But we should be living our lives in such a way that people know that we're Christians, that they can see that we're different. So many times, Christians view the gospel as something that's like secret. We don't share it. And that's really not the right attitude. And there are several reasons why I think we treat the gospel that way. And I think one of the first ones is we feel like it's not our responsibility, which is not true at all. Everyone is called, you know, the Great Commission. We're called to go and preach the gospel to every living creature.
Mark 16, 15 and 16. We're all taught to memorize that, right?
Exactly. But so often I feel like we think, oh, that's not really my job. That's the preacher's job, or that's the minister's job. That's the outreach minister. He's supposed to go out. That's not really my job.
But the Great Commission's for all. Exactly. And I believe the next verse says as much. And that is the problem. You know, we've talked a lot this year about authenticity. You know, Craig's done it from the pulpit. My dad and I did it in the Wednesday night class before the one on stewardship that we just finished. But, you know, the younger generations, millennials and Gen Zers, are really good of sniffing out people that aren't authentic or living authentic lifestyles. You know, the main complaint against the Church of Christ or other religions is, you know, you're all hypocrites. You preach one thing, but you behave differently. And I think that our lives, the way that we behave, the way that we treat other people, should be part of us preaching the gospel. The quote that we talked about last week, we're to preach at all times, but sometimes use words.
Exactly.
Right? We need to live that authentic life. And that's often, not often, it is the most effective way to bring people to church, to bring people to Christ. It's your friends and your neighbors and your family. It's not, well, I flew to India or I flew to Guatemala. Those are important works as well. But you have a higher success rate when it's your friend and they know that you actually care about them.
You have to build that relationship before you can make that impact. And
they don't care how much you know till they know how much you care.
Exactly. So your circle, those are the people that you can influence. Those are the people that it's going to make the biggest difference around. It's the people that you surround yourself with. That's who we got to kind of focus on when we think about evangelism. So what are some other reasons why more Christians don't evangelize?
I think people get nervous. They think, you know, just along the lines of it being a task or assignment project, you know, mindset that we've got, you think, oh goodness, here's my neighbor and I know I need to invite him to church and it has to be a big deal. Don't make it a big deal. Make it a small deal because small deals we get less nervous about, right? So even, you know, I used this on an episode that Sky and I did early on. You know, I had some plumbers doing some work at my house and they were younger end, you know, my age or probably a little bit younger. And, you know, we started talking about church because I think they saw a Bible laying on the counter. And, you know, just through the conversation, I said, well, where do you guys go? And one of them told me about a Baptist congregation. The other admitted he doesn't go like he needs to. So making a small deal out of it, I said, hey, we go to Central downtown, Central Church of Christ. Come visit sometime.
Yeah, we'd love to have you.
That's all it has to be. And if that's what your comfort level is, just start with that and leave it there. You've invited them and you've left a door open. If it's somebody doing work at your house or a neighbor that you have, that's a really easy conversation to have. Hey, here's where I go. We'd love to see you.
Exactly. And don't let, like, I know, fear of rejection or, you know, you don't want to offend anybody. That's, you know, one reason why folks don't bring up the gospel in everyday conversations. Another one is always lacking confidence or knowledge. Like, it's the fear of, like, what if I don't have all the answers? Spoiler alert, none of us have all the answers. And there are days where it's like, oh, I know this is in scripture, but I don't remember the exact, you know, book, chapter, verse. Well, the good thing is we have these things called cell phones, and I can look up anything pretty quickly. But it's also okay to remember that you can say, hey, you know what? I don't know the answer to that, but let's study together, and we'll find it together. And that's such a powerful thing to do because you bond that way. And even if it's, you know, someone that you know very well or someone that you're just sitting down with, like, what a great way to build a relationship with someone is to get in the Word.
Absolutely. And I think if you've listened in on any of the classes that have been going around, you know, there's a lot of people who have a lot of good stories to share over forming relationships and bonds with people through talking about scripture, even though it may be somebody you disagree with. I think your mindset also plays a big role into how you feel or how nervous you might be. Mm-hmm. If you have an adversarial goal in your mind when you approach somebody, that probably makes you a little more nervous, right? I'm walking into this thinking, I'm going to correct this person. They're going to see things from my way. But if you approach it from a standpoint of, I care about you and I care about your soul and I want to help you, you're often less nervous or less on edge, I think, to have that kind of conversation.
Exactly. So Craig brought up a scripture that I want to go to real quick. So it's John chapter 8, verses 1 through 10. And so this is Jesus catching the woman in the act of adultery. And Craig brought up this verse when he was talking about, we're not supposed to beat people over the head with it. We're supposed to share with compassion. And this is the set of scriptures where Jesus says, let him who is without sin among you be the first to throw a stone at her. And, you know, they went away. Nobody picked up a stone. And he then followed up and he said, you know, where are they? Has no one come to condemn you? And she said, no one, Lord. And Jesus said, neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more. So I think compassion is a key when we're going to share the gospel with anybody. Another thing that we need to think about is clarity. I think so many people think that the gospel is complicated, but it's not. Craig said, in its core, the gospel is Jesus died, he rose, and he saves. That's it. At the core, that's what the gospel is, and that's all you have to start with. And then we can go from there.
And we do have this culture in the Church of Christ, and it's a little bit of a problem, but it's the biblical scholar mentality, right? There's all that we admire the people, and there's nothing wrong with this, but we admire the people who can quote and recall any scripture, you know, at will. We really admire the people who say, oh, here's the Greek word, and here's what this means, and there's some benefit to that, but also that's not what we all have to be. You know, the gospel was written for fishermen. Mm-hmm. You know, Jesus called them one by one, Peter, Andrew, James, and John, all fishermen. Some of them illiterate, we think. Now I can't prove that, but fishermen in that day and age did not go to school like we do today, and they did not read and write like we read and write today. So it was written for people, everyone. And that's a distinction that we have from, you know, religions like Catholicism, where you have to be enlightened and you have to, you know, be ordained and reach certain levels of spirituality. That's not for us. You know, God desires that all men are to be saved. All men and women, mankind is what we mean there. But it's for everybody. You don't have to have this intellectual ability to be saved or to preach it to other people. It's very simple. He, like you said, he came, he died, he saved.
Jumping right off of that into something else going along the lines of maybe they were uneducated. So in Acts chapter 4, starting in verse 13, it's Peter and John were brought before the council. And they said in verse 13, it says, when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were uneducated common men, they were astonished. So yes, they were ordinary people. So many times when we're looking at who is spreading the message of the gospel, they're ordinary men. It's the message that has made them extraordinary in our minds. And another one of the key points, one of the last ones that Craig made was to be bold. And it says, you know, verse 13, when they saw the boldness of Peter and John. So we need to be bold and speak even when it's uncomfortable. And that's really hard. And I know probably both of us, like, yes, we're on this podcast and we're talking about that, but we're talking to ourselves too. Mm-hmm. This is a conversation. So just know that whenever we say something like, oh, we need to do this or we need to do that, we're talking to ourselves just as much as we're talking to any of Absolutely. Our listeners.
And I do want to go back to a lesson that we had a few weeks ago. There was a point made about a guy named Penn Jillette, a Penn of Penn and Teller.
Yes.
And he is a self-proclaimed atheist. He does not believe in God or the existence of any God. But he was very moved by a gentleman that met him after a show that gave him a track that, in essence, was inviting him to church, just saying whatever his congregation was all about. And it moved him because he said, look, all of you people who profess to know and love God and want to preach the word and save everybody, this is one of the few people who's actually come up and done it. And he said, how much, if you knew, and in our instance, it's you, heaven or hell, right? If you knew that a large portion of the population was going to hell, he likened that to somebody about to be hit by a bus. And he said, if you knew somebody was going to be hit by a bus, how much do you have to hate that person not to tell them to move or to push them out of the way?
Exactly.
So it, again, if we care, if we have that compassion, I feel like these conversations are a lot easier to have rather than, well, let me, let me show you how much I know, or let me tell you mm-hmm. that I can quote every book, chapter, and verse. If you come from a place of, I care about you and this is why I'm having the conversation, they're a lot easier to start.
Exactly. And think about that compassion and that care for people. That should give us the energy that we need. You know, we started this podcast talking about those mountaintop experiences and being transformed and you know, getting bogged down by everyday life. In John chapter 4, verses 29, it was Jesus was talking to the woman in the well, and she went back to the town and she said, come see a man that told me everything. She was excited to tell. She couldn't wait to get that out. So I think that's what we'll leave you with today. So be excited and let that compassion and passion for the gospel drive you to be bold and to make spreading the word a part of your everyday life, your neighborhoods, your workplaces, and your circle. Thank you so much for listening.
Thank you all. Until we meet again, God bless you all.
Bye, everyone.
This
is After Sunday.